Good afternoon. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is said that the babies of humans are the weakest of them all of God's creatures. In other animals, such as the baby of a giraffe, within a few hours, the baby giraffe could stand on its own and wander off. But when you look at a human baby, it takes years for that infant, that baby, to grow to become independent. They may become independent physically, but you and I know that to live in such a world, just because they are independent physically, doesn't mean that they are ready to stand on their own two feet. So they have to be educated, they have to be fed and carried. There's so much that parents need to do in order for that tiny little infant to grow up, to be independent, to be strong enough to face the world. And so in Singapore, we pray and hope that through institutions of higher learning, they will learn a skill, a trade, and then they will begin to learn financial independence. Hopefully that in time with interaction with fellow human beings, they will also learn emotional maturity and independence. And then one day old enough to leave father and mother and start their own home. And so with emotional, financial maturity and independence, and then on top of that, of course, spiritual, will they be strong enough to face the world? How to be a strong Christian? That's what every Christian parents long to have for themselves first, and then for their children. If the Lord tarries, all the young ones here in Sunday school will one day grow up to become the future leaders of Truth BP Church. And all those who are young adults, if the Lord tarries, they will soon become the adults and the senior adults of Truth BP Church. And then, of course, obviously, those who are in the senior adult age or the golden years, see you in heaven. Isn't that true? The nation of every country requires their citizens to be strong so that their country will be strong economically, financially. It is no different in the spiritual realm. In fact, more so. That's why the Lord says in verse 10, finally, after he spent so many verses helping over and over again the Christians in the church in Ephesus to understand what it means to become a Christian, he spent the first three chapters doing that. And then from chapter 4 onwards, he turned it into something practical, something that is relational between fellow human beings. Submitting one to another was how he ended up concerning the individual believer, whereby you are to interact with one another in a godly manner. And so we learn about how to be a godly wife, a godly husband, a godly children, a godly child, a godly parent, and then a godly employee, and a godly employer. And then finally, that is the most important of all that the Lord has said and spoken concerning how we are supposed to be as an individual believer, how we are to relate to one another in every facet of our lives, as parents, as husbands, as wives, as employer, employee. All these require strength. If you are weak in any one of them, your entire witness and testimony will collapse, especially in the church age, in the church period. In the period of the kings, for example, David was cited by God as the best king Israel ever had. And when you look at the history of Israel, you cannot argue against that. Because since the time of Joshua, for hundreds of years, Israel had never tasted that kind of spirituality. Throughout the period of more than 350 years, known as the period of Judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And then when King Saul came into power, he was a king after his own heart. And then God removed him and replaced him with King David. And for the first time in Israel's history, they tasted what it's like to be a nation of spiritual men, women, and children with a godly king, leading them, guiding them, helping them. And Israel was at the height of her spirituality and power and might. And then, of course, soon after that, when Solomon took over, it started to decline until the monarchy ended with the destruction of the temple and Judah. They were strong, and then they were weak. They were strong again, and then they were weak again. King David was strong as a king, but he was weak as a father and a husband because he had many wives. And then through his many wives, he had many children. And then they all vied to be the next king after David. And so there were a lot of in-house squabble fighting. And then they also had committed the sin of the half-brother and half-sister, the sister being raped by the half-brother. And then the brother who found out killed or murdered the other brother. So it was a mess to have a home where there were many wives. God never commanded at one time that David was an example of a godly husband or a godly father. But as a godly king, no one could come close except, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He became the reference point, the example of future kings. If they were good, then the Lord would say that this was a good king after King David. For us as a church, we do not have the privilege of dichotomizing. As long as I'm a very good pastor, all the other areas of my life can be weak. It doesn't have to be strong. The word finally tells us that every area of our lives must be strong. And that's what it means to be a strong Christian. You cannot allow any aspect that the Lord had been citing and pointing out, group by group, position by position. As long as you are married, then the Christian wife, Christian husband is yours to obey. If you're an employer, you have to be strong in the Lord. Your parents are still alive, then you have to be strong in the Lord as a Christian son or Christian daughter. If you are married and you have children, then you must be a strong Christian parent. That's what the word finally means. Summarize everything in final conclusion. And so what does it mean to be a strong Christian? We need to know the source of our strength. That is the first thing. The world will give us many, many sources of strength. And so with education, is it not true, before salvation, you have this understanding and you have been told by your own parents and by what you observe and what you read in the papers and, as you know, in our society, the better educated you are, the stronger you will be in finding a good job. Sure, there will be exceptions where those who do not have very, very good education, and then they seem to do well as far as dollars and cents were concerned, but they would be called the exceptions, not the rule. Men like Bill Gates quit university and then started his own computer business. They are the exception. Do not make them the norm. Any first world country with a very strong education emphasis will tell you that education is the key to strength
in society.
You can get a very good, stable, high-paying job if you are very well-educated. And so the natural tendency for us living in the first world countries like Singapore is draw much strength in our education. Isn't that what many parents are pushing their children toward? Spending hundreds, if not $1,000 or $2,000 a month in tuition so that your child will be strong in education because that's what you believe. Open many doors for your son, your daughter to step in. And many of these high-paying jobs require educated people. And so easy to lean on the strength of education. And then, of course, there will be the strength of connection. The more highly connected you are, you will have a very good head start. Born with a silver spoon in your mouth, your father is the richest man in Singapore. It's very hard for you to live in poverty for the rest of your life if you manage your father's fortune carefully. You do not have to worry about poverty, struggle. Your father has enough for you to live at least 10 lifetimes. Leaning on the strength of connection that is based upon money power. All these are available in the world, and we all have tasted that as unbelieving citizens of Singapore. We know what it's like. We've observed it. We have seen it, and some of you have tasted it. And so the Lord says, the source of every Christian strength is in the Lord. Plain and simple. In other words, the Lord is saying that this is not an exception. This is supposed to be the norm for everyone. This is not for the apostles only. This is not for the elders and the pastors and the deacons only who are serving in leadership positions. This is for every Christian. Remember, the background is a Christian wife, a Christian husband, a Christian employee, a Christian employer. Not elders, not pastors. This is not a pastoral epistle for elders and pastors only. That's where the strength is. Be strong in the Lord. Not be strong in your education, not in the world, not in your money, not in your friends, not in your health. Be strong in the Lord. That's the key. First and foremost, you have to be a Christian, in other words. If you're not a Christian, you cannot be strong at all. It has to be strong in the Lord. But what does that mean, to be strong in the Lord, isn't it? I can't just keep on repeating the same phrase, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord, and you will tell me, please shut up. What does it mean? You keep repeating the same thing, be strong in the Lord. What does it mean? What does it mean to be strong in education? Open doors. You are an expert and skillful in what you were trained to do. And so I studied hard and I became an architect. So when I look at a building, I look at the design. When I'm asked to design a building, a bungalow, on this piece of land, I learn, I know how to do it. What are the first steps and second steps? First and foremost, a bungalow is a home. Look at the compass, north and south. That's where the cooling direction of the bedrooms ought to be. Because that's where the people in the home will sleep in. Try to put maybe the toilet and the storeroom facing east and west. Not too much sun, not in Singapore. Maybe in some western country where you have winter, maybe you need the sun. And then you look at the entrance. Where is the main road? And then after that, you have to design the outside. You get a landscape designer to grow the right kind of trees. If you have the size, build a swimming pool. And then inside the room, where to put the living room. These are the private public area, not private, public area. And then you have the kitchen and the dining area. This will be the semi-private, semi-public. And then the bedrooms are supposed to be the most private. Put it and tuck it away so that when guests come, they don't have to walk through the bedrooms in order to arrive in the living room, which is a public area.
So you design, you are taught, you are told what to do.
So when we are given a blank piece of land, education has taught me before I join or enter university, you give me a blank piece of land, I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. But after 4.5 years of training, hundreds of hours of design and education, you give me a piece of land, you can draw a bungalow, you can draw a shopping center, you can design an office building, you can even design a huge condominium by following the steps, the procedures that you have learned. Strength in education will change you, will transform you and provide you with a skill. Isn't that true? And then with experience, you become more and more skillful. The more you use it, the more skillful you become, the stronger, the better you are. The day you graduated, you may have the skill, but not skillful enough, and so you have to be taught and you have to learn more. Isn't that true? For every profession, every skill. But you must have the skill first. So that means you have to be in the Lord first. You have to make sure your salvation, first and foremost, to be strong in the Lord, is to experience the power of His might. An elderly lady has no strength on her own to cross the zebra crossing. And then you come along with your strong, youthful arm. She held on to you. You become her legs. The strength of your legs become her legs. The strength of your arm become her strength. As you literally, where she leaned upon you to walk all the way across. On her own, she won't make it. But leaning upon you, easily. Your strength became her strength. In the Lord means you stop leaning on anything else. It is not lean on our education plus the Lord. It is not lean upon money plus the Lord. To lean upon the Lord means literally lean upon the Lord and not lean on the Lord end. No end. The moment you borrow your strength from something or somewhere else and the Lord says, you can't lean on me. You want to lean on me, it has to be total, it has to be complete. It cannot be partially the Lord, once in a while the Lord, other times on your own. That will not work. How do you think God taught Moses? He bankrupted him of every ounce of self-confidence. You know that, right? 40 years was how long the Lord took to bankrupt a young man of 40 at the height of his life. With decades of Egyptian training and education and influence as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew all the powerful men and women in his lifetime in Egypt. And all these things have to be completely destroyed. How to destroy all these connections? 40 years long for all that Moses knew or knew of Moses to die off. That's how connections are broken, isn't it? As long as these people are alive, they grew up with Moses, they study in the same school with Moses. And Moses, if he were to send any time earlier to Pharaoh to bring the people out, Moses will have connection. It will be the Lord's strength and his connection. And so the Lord took 40 years for all of Moses' connection to die off so that he has no more connection. That's why when Moses was called by the Lord, who am I? All my connections are gone. They don't know me and I don't know anyone in the high court of the palace of Pharaoh. All the education that probably I had, they are really old education. It's 40 years old. Whatever skill, whatever tools, whatever connections I had, they're all gone. Lord, who am I to go? But that was exactly the kind of Moses that the Lord says, now you are ready to be strong in the Lord.
When you're strong in education, I can't use you. When you're strong in the power of man, I can't use you. When you're strong in money power, I can't use you too. God says, I will use you provided you go in my name. And that's exactly what the Lord said to you. It's not who you are, Moses, it's who I am. You are doing the Lord's work. Don't forget that. That's how you know that you are strong in the Lord. Christian wife, Christian husband, Christian son and daughter. First and foremost, you are Christian. And once you remember that you are a Christian wife first, there is no way you will forget to submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. Very often when you forget that you are a Christian wife first, you just remember, I'm just a wife. That's where your tantrums, that's where you learn to usurp. At that moment of usurpation, you are not in the Lord, you are in yourself. But if you are in the Lord, you will obey His word. Was that not what He told Joshua? Remember when Joshua started his ministry in Joshua chapter 1? Did God not use the word, be strong and of a good courage? And he needed it because the Lord mentioned it so many times. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And then the Lord said again, be strong in your ministry. And then verse 7, be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. In other words, be strong in the Lord and experience and taste the power of His might, which means the power of His strength. It's just simply obeying the Bible. That's it. The more you obey the Bible, the stronger you are. Which means, the more you are ready, more ready and more willing to obey more of the Bible. You obey a little bit, and then you realize how real obedience to the Word of God is. You never lacked. And then as you grow more and more, you obey more and more, more and more. The more you obey, the stronger you get. That means the more you lean upon the Lord. The more you taste His strength. Like the elderly woman, could not cross until they leaned upon the Lord. Don't take one step without praying. Don't take one step unless you know that it is according to Holy Scriptures. When the Lord called me into full-time ministry, you know one of the things that I said to the Lord was as a terrible excuse? Why didn't you call me after I get my HDB house, Lord? Just as you called Reverend Stephen Koo after he got his HDB house. That was my faithless complaint. Why didn't you call me into full-time ministry before I gave most of my savings to the church building fund? At least then I would have some money in my bank account until before you call me. And now that you called me, my bank account is near zero. And then when my previous church cut me off, they supported me $400 a month for everything. School fees, food and board and lodging and bus fare and books. Just enough. $400 a month. That was my first year in FEBC. And then the Lord shut the door in Bible Church where I came from. And then Pandan supported me. $200 a month. That's it. For fees, for food, for everything, half. 400 was just barely enough. And then now 200. And so for the remaining 3 years in FBBC, it was a 4-year program. It was 200 a month. It was difficult, to say the least. At the end of every semester, I pray to the Lord, please provide me the funds to pay for my school fees. Because at the start of the day, of the semester, the day of prayer, Mrs. Stroh will be there collecting the whole semester's fees, which I did not have. $500, $600, including food, to stay there. And then on top of that, in my second year, I got married and I have to pay $100 rent. My wife worked as a secretary, so she did not have much as well. But every semester, somehow before the semester starts, or just after the semester started, somehow or rather, the school fees will be paid for. The food, the board and lodging will be paid for. Somehow or rather, the Lord provided. The Lord provided again and again and again and again. There was one time I remember when I was asked by my wife to buy dinner. I didn't have money in my pocket. Then I finished speaking at one of the churches, YF. At the end of the service, they gave me a tiny little love gift. I opened it, $20, just enough to buy dinner for myself and my children. The Lord provide. And He will continue to provide because He provided in the past. When we went to America, it was similar. The church provided us with the barest minimum. We never asked for more. Whatever the church gives, we just accept it. We never even expected the church to support at all. We used whatever savings that we had. I took some from my wife because we were married, right? Her bank account is mine, my bank account is mine. Anyway, I don't have much. We got a car, 13 years old, for $950 US. We didn't have enough for food. So we thank God in America they have food stamps. So we apply for food stamps and they provide for foreigners, students. So every month we use the food stamps to get free milk and free cornflakes. But it has to be the very plainest of milk and plainest of cornflakes. The Lord provided. Every night I thank God the car did not break down. For 3 years. And when the car broke down, it was timely. I remember we drove from Indiana, where we were at Grace Seminary, to do our second master's in Pennsylvania. It was a 2-day drive. With 2 young children, that time Dr. Koo and Jamima just got married. And so we went together. We drove a U-Haul with all our stuff that we got for free or garage sale to furnish our next home in Pennsylvania for our second master's. It was a very long drive. Pennsylvania was a very mountainous state. We stopped overnight. Next morning, we drove again. It took us maybe 12 to 18 hours. By the time we arrived, it was snowing. It was freezing. It was cold. The moment we arrived, I heard, the moment we parked the car, there was a very loud clang sound. Kung! Thank God we arrived safely. I did not know what happened. We unloaded. We were exhausted. We got into our respective apartments. And then we went to sleep. The next morning, I went down to check. The whole exhaust pipe of the vehicle just collapsed. Right at the bottom of the car, parked in front of the housing estate where we rented a room, an apartment. If it had collapsed anywhere along the road, the 12 to 18 hour drive. It would have been a terrible, terrible problem and headache. We don't know anyone. The two young children. My second daughter was only 3 months old. My oldest one was about 2 years old. Didn't know anyone. And by the time the car was already 15 years old, 13 plus 2, entering into the 16th year. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles already on the speedometer. But that's the only one we could afford. The Lord was there providing. Providing. And then when we enter into the ministry, when I look back, when I nearly had nothing, the Lord provided. Those kind of experiences and lessons of the provision of the Lord, priceless. If I have so little, the Lord provided. And now, today, I definitely have more than what I had then. The Lord provides. You taste it a little bit, you keep on trusting, and the Lord will build and build and build and make you trust Him more and more and more. That's the power of His might, which is the power of His strength. When you lean upon the Lord, you will experience His sufficiency and the reality of the promises in Holy Scriptures, just as Joshua did. You'll be strong and of good courage in doing what in obeying my word. You mean you need strength and courage to obey God? So that's correct. Because everyone else is not going to do it. Everything that is of this earth will tell you, don't do it, it's foolishness. But then the Lord says, you are my servant. You are doing my work. Be strong and of good courage and obey my word. Because that's exactly what the source of strength is. It's in the Lord, yes, but where, how? In the Bible. The more you study the Bible with a heart of obedience, the stronger you will become. And it takes time. How much time did it take that infant to become an adult? 21 years? In Singapore, 21 years is not enough. Because of 2 years of national service. For 21 years, some of you are still in university. After you finish your university, you're still a greenhorn. You don't have any financial strength. You've got to work for another 5 years. Perhaps then you may have a little bit more. Then maybe you can think of becoming independent. That means you have to be 26 or 27 at least. For the ladies, minus the 2 years, maybe a little earlier. So from infancy to 26, 27, that's 27 years before we can become strong, stand on our own 2 feet, leave home, think of finding a home for ourselves, and then get married. How long do you think God will turn a newborn babe in Christ to spiritual maturity so that they can be strong in the Lord, so that other believers can lean upon them to be strong as well, so that your children can lean upon you and be strong as well? For the physical 20 plus years, what about the spiritual? Time. It takes time. Patience. Perseverance. Keep on studying the Word of God and obey little by little, little by little. And then you will be able to taste and see how strong leaning upon the Lord is. And it's real. The Word of God will become a reality. It's no longer just simply some black words on white paper. When you read those verses, it will bring to remembrance those many occasions where that verse and this verse and the other verse have become so real and it had become so wonderful, precious. Because when you remember how the Lord fulfilled exactly what He has said and promised in the Word, and you would not want to exchange that for anything in the world. Because those kind of experiences, where the Word of God turned from theory to reality, money cannot buy. It's only by a life of obedience and faith and trust that you have gained
those precious moments of the strength of the Lord in your heart. How to be a strong Christian? Know the source of your strength is in the Lord. What does it mean to be in the Lord? It simply means obey the scriptures. Study it, understand it well, and obey it, just like what God taught Joshua to do. Circle the city of Jericho this number of times, at the end of it, shout, and the wall will fall. Every step that you set foot on will be yours to conquer, except when you sin, which happened in the city of Ai. He learned, he experienced it. And God says, I want this for every one of my children. Not just for the leaders. More so for the leaders, of course, because if you don't lean upon the Lord, how are you going to take care of my children, God says. But it's for everyone. The moment you are born again in Christ, you've got to start leaning upon the Lord. You've got to start experiencing the strength that is in the Lord. And then the Lord says, what is the equipment for the Christian strength other than the Word of God? A particular, specific portion of God's Word known as the armor. And the Lord will give us the detail of that armor in the next few verses, which, God willing, we are going to look at. But this whole armor is where we get the English word panoply. A panoply. It has to be full. You cannot just simply pick and choose which pieces of armor you want, and then this one I don't need, I put it aside, you die. You've got to put on the whole armor. Don't pick and choose which piece of the armor you feel like putting on, and then the other piece you don't feel like putting on, and then you are done for. It has to be the complete full suit of the whole armor of God. That's how this armor is described. It has to be a God-given armor. Not of this earth. Not of any material that is of this earth. It is an armor where every piece is designed by God. It comes from heaven. And it is an equipment that the Lord has given to every soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because you're a general, so you have a bigger armor. No, everyone will be given the same. No difference. Because you face the same enemy, the devil, and all his rulers, principalities, and powers in dark and high places. Since we all face the same enemy, the Lord knows that this is the armor that will protect all of you, so that none of you should fail. And all God requires from you is, now that I have provided, it's up to you whether you want to put it on. If you do not put it on, the provision of the whole armor of God is going to be useless. You have to put it on you. Those of us who have been to the army, you remember the first day you joined the army? I remember, I will never forget the first day I joined the army. I was 18 years old, we just finished our A-level, and it was just before Christmas. We were sent to Pulau Tekong. We were the early batches, the first few batches that were sent to Pulau Tekong. During our time, or my time, the UNSOC forces, the Australian New Zealand forces that had been in Singapore, were in the process of leaving. That's why by the time I entered into my final 2 years, 2.5 years altogether, by my final, the first 2 years, we moved camp from Tampines or Loyang to Nisun and took over the entire camp that had been left vacant by the UNSOC forces. But remember my first day in Pulau Tekong. I had to go on my own to MINDEF, got into a three-tonner, and that's it. I said goodbye to my mom at home. I had to make my own way there, because my dad passed away when I was 17. And my mom had to look after 9 children. And so they drove us all the way to Changi Point.
And somehow or other, I got picked on by the instructor. So I carried the Alibaba back and I had to was asked to run up and down, up and down. In front of the Changi jetty. That's why I will never forget. And I got into the carrier. It was not a bumboat, it was a carrier. All of us went inside. And then we got across to the jetty in Pulau Tekong. Then we were all assigned our bunk and our bed. And I still remember I was blur as a sotong. One instructor came, deceived me, took my brand new pair of boots and gave me his old torn and tattered boots. And he said that this is now for you, give me the new one. I gave. Gong. How to forget? Got cheated on day one, deceived. And for the next few weeks of recruit training, you know how hard it is to use torn and tattered boots with the mouth open for training? Only one pair of nice boots that I have to polish for parade, for drill. It was miserable to be in the army. They gave me very good piece of equipment, brand new. And then there was this horrible corporal instructor who cheated me and deceived me and exchanged it for a brand new one for himself because he was looking for one the same size as his. You think Christ will do that to you? Give you some piece of equipment that is torn and tattered that has some problem in it? I was given such an equipment. And then I make the most of it. God, I have to wear my shoes. I cannot use the one that I have to polish for drilling for Parade Square. Because that one has to shine. Because they come and they take it, they look at it, they smile, they must see their teeth, or else I'm in trouble. My weekend will be burned. Then I'm going to wear the torn and tattered. And so my feet was continuously painful because stones kept on getting inside. Then I got corns underneath. Can't even walk properly, bleeding. You think God will do that to you? Give you some second-rate, torn and tattered equipment passed down by some other soldiers that have been used before? Oh, this is the armor that Apostle Paul used and he used it very well. And now I hand it over to you. All broken, torn and tattered or old. And you put it on, it hurts you. It won't protect you. Every piece, God says, for every new soldier, it's a brand new piece. All of you, I will give a brand new piece that will be so suitable and fit your body perfectly. Doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what your spiritual level is, doesn't matter what your education might be, whoever you are, every piece of this whole armor is designed specifically with your name on it for you. Because the Lord knows the stature, the measure of your faith, everything about you. He knows your makeup, He made you. He molded you, He prepared you. And all He asks of you is, put it on. If you don't put it on, you have no one to blame but yourself. I put it on. I blame the corporal. I don't know who he is. I know he's tall, that's all. I don't know who he is. Or who he was. Maybe he's no longer, I don't know. You think the Lord will do that to you? Never. But you need to put it on. And that's the meaning of the word. And you've got to put it on yourself. But the emphasis is on the action of putting on. When you put it on, it's not the emphasis. The emphasis is on the action of putting it on. And because it is the middle voice, you've got to put it on yourself. Your mom can't do it for you. Your dad can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. The elders can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. It's your armor. You have to put it on yourself. God has equipped you with it. But if you don't put it on, you will not be protected. And remember, there is no put off. You're going to put it on. He has already sanctified you, cleansed you, make you ready to wear such an armor in Christ, in the Lord. The strength of the Lord is already ready for you to use and to lean upon the Word of God. But you need to protect yourself. And that's where the armor comes in. Because the strength that you're going to lean upon in the Lord to obey and to do, without the armor on, you're going to be a victim and a casualty in time to come. And when you become a victim and a casualty, you will realize that your life and your service and your witness for the Lord on this earth will never be the same again. And I'm sure you know of some of such casualties. They have left Truth BP Church. In Pandan, we also have casualty. Keep the armor on to protect your whole being. Because when you look at the design of this whole armor piece by piece, it is to protect your whole being from top to toe. Because the devil will attack you from top to toe. And you have to put it on and keep it on yourself. Every day you wake up, make sure the armor is on. And then when you go to sleep, the armor is still on. The Lord watches over you. And you wake up, be conscious of the fact that the armor is on. It is never off. And when we look at the armor later on in the next few verses, in the weeks to come, God willing, we're going to see what it means when you forget that the armor is on. That you must put it on yourself. And once you do that, it will be tested. And that brings us to the second half of verse 11. First, in verse 10, the source of the Christian strength in the Lord, which is the Bible. The equipment for the Christian strength is the armor to keep you safe, to protect you. The Lord knows that we need that. And then the third, it will be tested. Your strength will be tested. The strength that you have in the Lord will be tested, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles, the word wiles there, W-I-L-E-S, is where we get the English word method. This wiles of the devil is not something that is plucked out of thin air. It is very methodical. It is planned carefully to snare you and to trip you and to destroy your ministry. It's methodical. Very cunningly devised. It can come from people who are close to you. And the method that he uses will also be very subtle and attractive. Delicious. Sins are attractive. They're always attractive. Otherwise, if it is disgusting, nobody would sin. A very appealing to the carnal body. That's the nature of sin. It's very appealing to the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. It's very methodical. Very carefully plotted and planned to snatch you and to snare you. You and I need to take every precaution in order to find the strength to stand against the test. The word able is dynamite, dunamos. To see how strong you are as you stand against the onslaught of the devil, day in, day out, day in, day out. For how long? Depends on how long the Lord wants you to remain here on earth. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. That's how long. You're going to stand against the devil for the rest of your sojourn here on earth until the Lord says, you have now come close to the finishing line. Still going to stand strong to the very end until you cross the line. Don't you weaken, not even in the slightest. Those who are in the senior adult age, when you are so close to the finishing line, the devil will throw everything at you. Because at that point in your life when you stumble and fall into sin, everything that you have been doing, that you have been building up all these decades, will crumble into dust. And all the people who look up to you will be dragged down with you and by you when you stumble and fall. So don't ever think that as your body grows weaker, you slow down a lot, you can take it easy. Not in the spiritual battle, not in the spiritual realm. All the more you must be able, you must find strength from the Lord, in the Lord, in keeping on to obey the Bible. We had a leader in our church who had been with us for a very long time. And then he has been building a testimony and a ministry, and he has been serving. And became one of the key leaders in one of our ministries. And then his daughter wanted to marry someone who refuses to be baptized, even though in our constitution it is very clear that in order for them to be given a Christian marriage, the man has to be baptized, especially he being the head of the house, or future head of the house. He was advised by the board of elders before the marriage not to attend. And so when the day came, after the wedding, news came to us that he attended, and so the board of elders made another appointment to meet up with him to confirm what we heard, whether it was true. And so we asked him, we explained to you, we talked to you before the wedding, that as a leader that you cannot attend. There are consequences for the sake of your testimony and your ministry and for the sake of Christ and your daughter. You should not attend. And then after he attended, we asked him again, why? I will never forget his reply. She's my daughter. That was it. What about Christ? All his many, many decades of ministry, went on mission trips, led mission trips. Everything that he served has to be suspended immediately. And then we have to explain to the people in the ministry that he served with, especially those in the same committee. Explain to them why the board of elders had to take such a serious act of suspension. And of course, they did not remain in the church. They left. You think when you are in the new church, now that you are not young anymore, you think the new church will just simply welcome you with open arms? You just simply attend a new church and the people there need to know you. They need to find out who you are and why you left, a lot of other reasons. But now you're no longer a young man. You're already in your evening years. And so by the time they get to know you, and maybe they will allow you to serve, of course, in a very diminished capacity, you're already about to end your time here on earth. And what about the many decades of building up a life and a testimony and a ministry in your previous church? All gone. That's it, just like that. And if you think that it does not and it will not happen to you, you please think again. It can happen to any one of us. One moment of weakness where you do not stand against the methods of the devil the wiles of the devil. That's his method. Do you want God to bless your wedding of your daughter when she purposely marries someone who doesn't want to publicly confess Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior? The church was prepared to baptize him, even though he had not finished the BBK classes. His reply was, "My parents are not happy if I were to be baptized, and so I need to obey my parents. I cannot let them be angry with me." That was his answer when the BOE offered him a special dispensation to be baptized before his wedding. He just simply doesn't want to. And you expect God to bless the wedding when you purposely do not want to be baptized in order to not displease your parents? What about Christ? Of course, that young man was not from our church. The young man was an outsider. And I explained to him, even more so, you should be baptized because you dated her when you are not a believer. In a way, what she did was wrong from the very beginning. Why would she want to date an unbeliever in the first place? And now your salvation will always be questioned and in doubt. Are you marrying her because you want to be baptized because that's the only way to marry her? Are you truly born again? I said, all the more you should be baptized before the marriage. Please do not think that because you are now retired, you're in your evening years, the walls of the devil will just simply no longer be there. The methods of the devil are very, very cunning and potent. That's why don't ever let your guard down. Don't ever take off the whole armor of God, no matter how senior and tired you are in ministry. All the more, you should keep it on and be alert. Because you will always be tested. And all you need is one moment of weakness, and all the previous tests that you have passed will be rendered null and void, just like what happened to this man. He built up a testimony in the church, and it just simply collapsed around him by one act. And if the board of elders just let him get away with it, did nothing, what do you think will be the outcome? Every future leader will follow in the same footsteps. And you think God will be pleased with us just to keep him in the church? We all compromise and become a partaker of his transgression and say, it's okay, never mind. It was a very hard and painful and difficult decision to be made, but it was necessary because it was a serious transgression. It will be tested how strong you are in the Lord. Sure, there will be times that we're going to stumble and fall, but let it not be big ones. Let the consequence be as small and as minor as possible, because we are not perfect. But whenever you stumble and fall, pray immediately for restoration and forgiveness from the Lord. And keep the armor on all the time, because the test will not end until you arrive home in glory. What is a strong Christian? How to be a strong Christian? Study the Bible and pray for strength and faith to obey, because that is what it means to be strong in the Lord. That's the source. Don't mix it with education. Don't mix it with your experience. Don't mix it with anything else. The strength in the Lord cannot be shared. It has to be 100% in the Lord, as Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 tells us, right? Lean not unto thy own understanding, but in everything, you keep on leaning upon the Lord, and he will direct, he will make your path straight. Equipment, the whole armor of God, put it on. And keep it on, because it will be tested to the very end of your life. May God help all of us as we continue to encourage one another,
in earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may we never forget that we are always in the battlefield, where the evil one, in a very methodical manner, will continue to try his utmost to deceive us and lure us away into sin. Grant to us the discernment and the courage to always stand on the side of truth, holiness, and righteousness according to Scriptures. And may all of us be good and faithful, diligent students of thy holy word, always studying the word of God to obey in our own lives. And may we always keep the whole armor of God on, for we know that it will be tested by the methodical attack of the evil one. May your people in Truth BP Church be found faithful, discerning, and courageous to the very end, that they will fight the good fight of faith and hear thee say to them, "Well done and welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Help us to be strong in the Lord all the days of our lives until the Lord's glorious return. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen."